Today on Movie Wireless, we talk about Nuremberg, Begonia, and It Was Just an Accident. It's time for Movie Wallers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. I switched on microphones this time. Last episode, I forgot to switch on your microphones during the intro, so.
But it worked.
I think we just about heard you.
Yeah. We were distant. We were getting.
We were like, hello, like that.
Okay. We have lots of stuff to talk about today. I guess we did want to just begin our episode with a kind of a remembrance of a dear friend of ours, a dear friend of the podcast, a fellow snackwaller who recently passed away. So we just thought we would begin on a slightly sad note, but this fellow was definitely a foodie friend, a snacky friend, and
a lover of life.
Lover of life. So
yeah. Friends with all of us. And
yeah. Dear, dear man.
Yeah.
Very sad to have lost him.
Yeah, unfortunately we lost him on Friday
unexpectedly.
This week.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly. Our thoughts go out to his family, obviously, and I know a couple of folks who listened to Movie Wallers knew this person as well. So just a little bit of a moment of silence. But also a fellow movie lover, which, you know.
Yeah.
I always love. So thank you, John. We're always thinking of you.
Yes.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Rest in peace indeed.
Okay. Speaking of snacks, these are things that...
Well, these aren't conducive to podcasting because every single one of them are super crunchy.
They're really crunchy.
But so, they're really delicious.
So Rashmi and I went out this morning to run a couple of errands. And
trying to outdo Yazdi's snacks because is the master of snacks.
We are.
This is true.
Yes.
We are recording at our house and normally we're hopelessly unprepared with snacks. But we were out running errands. I was like, let's get some snacks for the podcast. So we wandered around Ranch 99.
And Balboa International Market.
Which are two fantastic ethnic supermarkets here in San Diego.
One is Asian, one is Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they both have excellent produce.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Excellent produce, both of them.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Really. These are the stores that you go in and you feel like you are on vacation.
Well,
you are transported.
Yeah, no, they
have the smells, the sights, the foods that are available.
They do test my resolve because I want to take this.
Yep.
Hey, I haven't tried this. Let me try this.
Yeah. So we have
that little treasure trove.
Yeah, so we have something called Smoky, which is kind of like Israeli bambas.
Bamba.
They're delicious. It's called Original Fresh Baked Peanuts.
Okay. And basically, they're these little kind of puffed, crisp things.
They're delicious.
They're peanut flavored. And
they're very good.
They're a bit savourier and maybe a little saltier than Bamba.
Yeah. So and then why don't you show those over there, Joe?
My choice was the Mahua cookies, the Mahua croquettes from Taiwan Dessert. I haven't had one yet.
Okay.
I have one and I could not use my front teeth. They're so hard.
Really?
I had to use my back.
Was it good though?
It's good.
Was it worth the chomping?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we also have these Himemaru, which are Japanese rice crackers and they are delicious. In fact, I put one in my mouth, but I couldn't chew on it when you started the intro.
They're very, very
crunchy. Apologies for the crunching, but these are all addictive.
They are the definition of umami, those things.
Yeah, they're delicious. It's delicious. Okay. I think
that's our snack fest today.
It is a snack fest.
Apologies for the crunching throughout. We do have a lot to talk about. So once again, it's a time of year where I feel like we can't ever get to making a Netflix pick.
Much to Yazdi's chagrin
I have so many to recommend next time.
Maybe we should do
we'll just do a recommendation podcast.
Yes, yeah. Let's do
everything,
that.
Yeah, like
once the craziness is over.
Yeah.
When do you guys vote for the Film Critic Awards?
Our think lists are due on the 25th of November.
Okay.
So first or second week of December.
Yeah,
so
I think, will be our vote.
That things should calm down after then. And
absolutely.
Maybe have a end of year wrap up.
And we'll keep letting you know of things that Yazdi and I are watching, because we are trying to be better about watching all of the links that are coming through. So we'll try and we've got a couple of those peppered in today as well. Movies we missed at the cinema that we think are worth a watch that we're going to review today.
Cool. Okay, so the three main menu items today are Nuremberg, Bugonia, and It Was Just an Accident.
And did you notice Yazdi's t-shirt?
Yeah, he. If you're watching us on YouTube, which please do, we film ourselves. Well, we do kind of like watching ourselves, but no, we film ourselves.
Careful so that you can say watch that, us. Joe.
Yazdi has a Bugonia t-shirt on, so I'm thinking his review may not be entirely objective.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same.
And it may not.
The same. And we also have t-shirts, but we didn't.
It's
have,
true.
We didn't have the foresight.
I'm
to
wearing
wear
my San Diego.
And I'm wearing my DKNY New York.
You have more ethical backbones. I gave in. So I did not purchase this, just to be clear.
Yes, correct. This is very kind swag that we got. Yes.
He was bribed by the studio to give a good review
and it worked.
In exchange for t-shirts.
Well,
let's see.
Yeah.
Let's say these t-shirts say a lot about us. Like, I'm a sports person. Rashmi's a fashionista. Yazdi's a movie fanatic.
Well, we all are.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Let's then begin.
Yes.
With the movie Nuremberg.
Okay. So as the Nuremberg trials are set to begin, a U.S. Army psychiatrist gets locked in a dramatic psychological showdown with accused Nazi war criminal Hermann Göring. So this is directed by James Vanderbilt. And I was looking up what James Vanderbilt has done. He's done quite a lot of things, mm-hmm. including that really good film, which I loved from a few years ago.
You'll have to be more specific.
I know. I was trying to be prepared. But he did that really interesting movie. He did Abigail. He's done some of the Scream movies.
Right.
Ready or Not.
Oh, yeah.
That
we
was
all like
such
that.
A fun movie. So I was excited. I'm very interested in this topic. And this also stars Russell Crowe as Göring. This has got Rami Malek. It's got Leo Woodall, John Slattery, Mark O'Brien, whole host of others. It's a really quite a prestige cast. Colin Hanks is here. Whole bunch of others. So what did you guys think of this? Yazdi, what did you think of Nuremberg? And there's been a lot of documentaries about this. Netflix has a really good series that we've just started watching called Hitler and the Nazis. You know, this topic is importantly never hopefully going to go away. But what did you think of the dramatization?
So, this is what I'll say. I think it's the sort of handsomely mounted, visually stellar prestige film that doesn't get made much these days. And there is kind of this glowing burnish to the entire production, like no cost has been spared to make things look like that. Like right when they did not get the dollar store, you know, costumes, like everything has been done to a T. I don't think it's the best movie of the year, and we'll talk about that. I also don't hate this movie, and I think it's hard to kind of talk about a movie which has so much going for it, but then there were a few things which really kind of got to me. I think where the movie should have been incisive and trenchant, it often becomes glib, and I think it kind of oversimplifies things, and I think the reason why, and I, you know, to give credit where the movie is due, it's based on a book written by the American psychiatrist who was sent prior to the Nuremberg trials to interact with Göring. And it's based on his interactions. And the movie sees the entire goings on of the Nuremberg trial through that prism. So it's by definition a little limited. So this is what I would say. If you kind of miss those big, well-mounted, old-fashioned spectacles, well, spectacle is the wrong word for a movie about the Nuremberg trials. But, you know, if you want this complete immersion into the past, then by all means see it. I think if you're looking for more depth, then maybe it might be slightly lacking.
Joe.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, Yazdi. I mean, you know, my mind goes to the word kind of crowd pleaser, which is such an odd thing to use to describe, such an odd adjective for a movie of this subject matter. But it's
absolutely a crowd pleaser.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, you know, I'll start by stating the problem I have with that is it really humanizes the monsters, overly so. And so in some ways you end up finding these guys to be somewhat sympathetic, and they shouldn't be. And I know that the movie's not doing that, but I think in trying to provide this well-rounded viewpoint of history, in a way that's glitz and Hollywood, almost Hallmark. It's a you know, dial it up to Hallmark and then dial it back a couple points. That's kind of where this lands. But nonetheless, I really did enjoy this movie. I mean, I think the story itself is very compelling. I love the different perspectives that it does bring to the subject matter. It's powerfully emotional, and as an audience member, I went on it on its ride with it. But you know, critically, I think the movie lacked bite. And I wanted that bite because, you know, the events of history that play out that this movie is talking about need bite, right? It needs to be a Schindler's List. It needs to be that, like, this must never happen again kind of thing. So that's where I landed.
I agree with both of you. I like the spectacle of it, and it's very, very well made. It's very prestige. It's of the right time. You know, it's the end of the year. It's looking for award love. The problem I have is Rami Malek is a really good actor. He's completely miscasted for me. He did not stand up to the power of Russell Crowe's goring. And it was just totally unbelievable. And Joe, I agree with you that we needed a bit more shock in here, right? This was a shocking set of events that happened we should never forget. These should rile us, and yet I didn't get to the point of severe sadness or pain. I actually got to laughter. There are more comical moments in here, not associated with the actual trial itself, but moments in the movie that actually made the audience laugh. And I don't know if that's kind of comic relief, but it didn't seem well placed. So I think it's tonally not correct. And even if you think of that amazing movie we watched 3 years ago, I think it got nominated, about the people who lived on the grounds of Auschwitz. I'll look for the name of the movie. This should have been a devastator. We should have watched this movie and been devastated by this. And we weren't. And what I did get from it, though, was, is this a call to arms? Is this trying to foreshadow where we are politically today? And if it's just that message that you get, then it's worth a watch. It's definitely worth a watch because of great acting, but it didn't quite hold together for me. It didn't, all the sum of the parts didn't make it amazing.
Yeah, I think the intent of the movie is to do like a Cliff Notes version of what transpired. Nothing wrong with that, but there is something very kind of Wikipedia-like to how it's put together.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's intentional or not, but there were, to your point, there were multiple points in the movie where I thought, this is foreshadowing what is happening right now.
Right.
And, you know, so to be clear, this is no Schindler's List, right? This is not Schindler's List. It's not as accomplished as that. It's not as trenchant as that. But I think it does bring up ideas about how people get brainwashed. How can extreme hatred flourish? How can somebody be so charismatic, and not just charismatic, but so much a force of nature that you would prevail against anything, right? When your personality is so larger than life, how can you prevail against all odds? And this is not even Hitler himself. This is Hitler's first in line.
Yeah.
And so I think it kind of brings up a lot of those points to fore. I wish it had kind of honed in a little bit more.
Yeah.
I also want to, before we go on, I also want to talk about the performances, and I completely agree. The camera kind of very oddly has a lot of tight close-ups during the whole movie, and it seems to be in love with Rami Malek's face because we see his face up close a lot. But Rami Malek's character comes off seeming so smug. He is on the right side of history, but there was something about how it was played. He just came across as overly self-congratulatory to me. Or maybe he was just doing damn good a job playing his character because that's what his character was. I think the person who comes up at really on top of this is Russell Crowe. Yes. I mean, I don't know if he has any Germanic roots, but his, or if somebody dubbed his, but, and I'm no expert in German, but his use of German and his use of
the accent work
was incredible, yeah, because he speaks in German through most of the movie, but even him as a person, I mean, I think the whole, if the movie works at all, it's because of him.
Agree.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a towering presence throughout this entire movie. And
yeah,
in some ways, he's kind of the hero of the movie, which again, I really struggled with that positioning.
Yeah.
Again, I know what they were doing. And Yazdi, to your point, I think maybe that's the misstep here. I think there's clearly an effort here by the filmmakers, at least clearly in my mind, in my view, to draw parallels between what happened then and what could happen now. And you do that by portraying these people somewhat sympathetically, right? Mm-hmm. Saying that they were there for the good of their country, to right the wrongs that had happened to them. A lot of the narratives that we hear in modern times where people, you know, rise up and take control and say, I'm just doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that there's, you know, you can very easily draw dotted lines between, you know, people in power today and some of the characters, the way that they're portrayed in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, just to add to that, I think the piece you've just made me realize is that the Rami Malek character is almost seduced by his client in a way, right?
For sure.
And so that seems very strange to me. And so in effect, what we're watching is some kind of love affair, in essence, between a psychiatrist and his patient, and then this need to go and explore that patient so much that he makes links to Goring's
wife.
It's
very Silence of the Lambs, like.
Yeah, you know, Stockholm Syndrome-esque
But maybe that's intentional, and maybe I'm giving the movie too much credit, but that's the whole point, is that Goring was so
charismatic
that he effectively seduced not just one person, but the entire nation.
Yeah.
Right. So we always talk about, well, how could the Holocaust have happened? Well, it happened because a lot of people were seduced into believing.
True.
Right. What the Third Reich had to say and what they believed in. And so maybe that was the point of the whole thing.
And the movie I was mentioning was The Zone of Interest from 2023. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just sort of when I compare and contrast something like, we've mentioned Schindler's List, but also The Zone of Interest to something like Nuremberg, The Zone of Interest just was so far superior in its ability to get us to rally around the call to action in some ways by doing it in a reverse manner. I just didn't feel that same... I feel like this was a missed opportunity.
Well, because The Zone of Interest portrayed things as it should have done through the horror lens.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the monstrous nature of what was happening. Whereas here, I mean, clearly there's moments of the movie where they reference archival footage and we get to see that. But we never... I personally didn't connect with the psychopath.
Yeah.
I connected with the charming
leader
who had done bad things.
Yeah.
But I needed to kind of, like you said, Yazdi, go deeper into the psychopathy.
Yeah, I guess we're all like how and why, and this didn't answer any of those questions. Yeah. It was a missed opportunity for me, especially because it's advertised as the movie about the psychiatrist who was supposed to figure that out, right? So why didn't we get that? That's kind of the missed opportunity for me.
Yeah, I think the one thing The Zone of Interest did very successfully, which Nuremberg does not, is that it pointed out about the utter banality of evil. Like, you could be doing the most heinous things, but leaving a very, very ordinary life outside of it, that you've compartmentalized. Right. You're living a nice life with your family in a nice home with kids, and yet you are overseeing something just unspeakable.
Because it's your job.
Because it's your job. The Goring character also did the same thing.
Correct.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I'm going to be the first to nominate Russell Crowe for Best Supporting Actor. He is tremendous. But maybe it's him, or maybe it's the writing or the directing, but you don't get the sense that this is a person who had kind of reconciled to the evil that he was propagating. He argued all along that he was unaware of it, which clearly he wasn't. But that, again, maybe these are all internal positions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's sum this one up. Yazdi.
So there is, after I saw this movie, I realized that there had been an older movie about Nuremberg. It was called The Judgment of Nuremberg. It is available for free on YouTube. It's an old movie with Spencer Tracy and Marlena Dietrich. It was made in 1961. That movie is amazing.
Okay.
It just gets through all of these issues with a clarity of purpose. I would suggest people watch that, but I hear from people all the time these days that, oh, the movies which get nominated for Oscar are just, you know, obscure kind of
indie
movies that nobody's heard of and nobody can relate to, blah, blah, blah. Well, this is the kind of movie which used to get made a lot in the mid 80s, early 90s, like a prestige movie film. I mean, the production design on this film is exquisite. The craft is, you know, beyond reproach. So if you want to see a handsome, well-mounted movie that's going to make you think a little bit, you could do far worse than Nuremberg. 7 out of 10 for me.
Okay, Joe?
Yeah, another 7 out of 10 for me as well. Again, I think the movie, I really enjoyed the movie, right? And I think the crowd got behind it as well. I mean, you know, the audience response to this was kind of remarkable to be part of.
Yeah, that was clapping.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, again, I just found the movie a little toothless in kind of passing judgment on the characters, right? I mean, the whole purpose of the Nuremberg trials, in my mind, was to show the world, that these evils took place, and to bring the
justice.
Perpetrators
yeah.
to justice. And so I didn't necessarily get that from the filmmaking, but all the other parables and parallels to modern times. Worthwhile. So I 7 out of 10.
So what Joe said, but for me, it missed the mark. I'm going to give it a 6 because I didn't like Rami Malek in this. I think he was so miscast, and someone else would have saved the movie a little bit more because it would have been more convincing, I think. And I just was uncomfortable with the tone and the kind of comedic aspects. It didn't fit. So 6 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, there's a whole bit at the end about them trying to save the family, Goring's family, of things, which tells you about the movie's intention. Like, you're supposed to feel deeply. I mean, truthfully, you should feel deeply for anybody's family, regardless of whether they're doing evil or not. But yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. And one last thing is Michael Shannon is in this movie as well.
Oh,
and
he's excellent.
We don't see enough of Michael Shannon these days. And he's so good here.
Yes, he's excellent.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes.
And I did find the movie Judgment at Nuremberg. It's from the Classic Video YouTube channel. I'll post a link to that.
I think Yazdi's in a little demand there.
I love YouTube recommendations because A, they're free. But B, I watch a lot of YouTube, so it's kind of great to see that stuff here as well. All right. Movie number 2, and I don't know how we're going to do movie number 2 without spoilers, but let's try.
We won't do spoilers. Let's try.
Okay, so we're going to move on to the movie Bugonia. Rashmi, I think.
Yazdi,
tell us all about Bugonia. Yeah.
Does Yorgos Lanthimos mean anything to you? If you are a movie buff, that name means a lot to you. If you're not, if you haven't been watching, you know, a lot of movies, then it just sounds like gobbledygook. But let me tell you about Yorgos Lanthimos. Yorgos Lanthimos is a Greek director who broke onto the international film scene with the movie Doctor. And then subsequently, he went on to make several other movies. He made the movie Alps, and then he made The Lobster, which to this day remains my favorite movie of his. The Killing of a Sacred Deer. So he was making a lot of these movies. They were kind of under the radar because they are kind of nihilistic. They're very, very contemptuous of humanity in general,
don't
I think.
Don't get Joe started.
But I think he broke into the American film scene with the movie The Favourite, which, you know, had Emma Stone and
Olivia Colman
and Rachel Weisz. And
that's, and not only that,
Nicholas
he broke into Nicholas my consciousness Holt. With that, yes. Because I hated everything he did up till then.
Yeah.
Hated.
And that movie finally had him breaking into the mainstream. That movie won a whole bunch of Oscars. Emma Stone got her, maybe one of her first Oscar nominations.
But Olivia Colman.
Olivia Colman won Best Actress. Yes. Since then, he's made a few other movies. He made Poor Things, which you might have also heard of. That's the movie which fetched Emma Stone her second Oscar, and she's less than 30 years of age. And then most recently, he had made Kinds of Kindness, which did not review well. But his most recent movie is Begonia. I recommend everybody don't find out too much about Begonia. I'll just give you a one-sentence summary, which I think even that is too much, but I'll give you the one sentence summary. Don't read anything about it. Don't find out from people what it's about. Don't find out how it ends. None of that stuff. Just go watch the movie. The one liner for the movie is, two conspiracy obsessed young men kidnap a high powered CEO of a major pharmaceutical company, convinced that she is an alien intent on destroying planet Earth. The movie is directed by Yorgos, as I mentioned. It is actually based on a Korean movie called Save the Green Planet. Mm. So I think this is his first movie, which is an adaptation of another movie, but it has an amazing cast. We have Emma Stone here again. Jesse Plemons is here as well. We all like Jesse Plemons. Alicia Silverstone is here in a very small role. Mm-hmm. And then the cast is rounded out by Aidan Delbis, who plays Jesse Plemons' brother in this movie. So Yorgos Lanthimos' movie is always a cause for much discussion. What do you guys think of Begonia?
So I am a huge Yorgos Lanthimos fan, but I've been so disappointed by Kinds of Kindness and Poor Things, not because they were badly acted, but I just couldn't get into them. And I think we talked about Kinds of Kindness was almost so indulgent. It had gone the Wes Anderson pathway, right?
Yeah.
I'm so happy. I'm so, so happy that Begonia is Begonia. I loved this movie. It was note perfect for me.
Joe?
So, yeah, among the three of us, we've debated Yorgos Lanthimos movies extensively in the past on the podcast, and I think most regular listeners will know I'm not the biggest fan, but I really did enjoy Poor Things. I thought Poor Things was excellent.
And like The Favourite.
The Favourite was, again, that pivotal turning point where his movies became accessible enough to a muggle like me, that I got away from his darker, more metaphorical, abstract filmmaking to something that I could tap into. This was latter. It's my second favorite Lanthimos movie, so I'll put it a very close behind Poor Things. I found this movie to be one of the funnier movies of the year.
Yeah.
It's obviously intentionally absurd. Mm-hmm. Very absurd in place. And the humor is incredibly dark, as it always is with Lanthimos. But I mean, you know, we even get some slapstick moments in this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some really well done
really
slapstick.
Funny.
And, so, you know, for me, it was just a riot of a movie to kind of watch. And obviously, you know, there's a big question mark throughout the entire narrative that is the point of the movie, right? You're grappling with this kind of, sense of what the reality of the situation is. And I'm really got to be so careful here to not, give away revealed. But, you know, the performance that Stone has in this movie is, again, utterly captivating, because she plays both sides of the question mark so beautifully well that you never quite know where she stands. So I thought it was fantastic.
Yes, Dee.
Yeah, so it feels like every time we have
since you are wearing the t-shirt.
I'm wearing the t-shirt
with pride.
It seems like every time We discussed Yorgos Lanthimos movie. I have to say this, but I'll say it again. When Lanthimos is left to his own devices, I think his hatred for humanity and his general sense of misery is so intense that the movie becomes almost an exercise in cruelty. Like, like you don't, like, you know, Dogtooth is so hard to watch.
Yeah.
You know, what was the other one?
The Lobster, Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Killing of a Sacred Deer is so hard to watch. But I do love. But I agree completely with Rashmi that Lanthimos was at high risk of becoming a parody of himself, like Wes Anderson, right? Wes Anderson is now just churning out movies which are just replicas of other Wes Anderson movies.
Yeah.
He, with Kinds of Kindness, was kind of getting in that rut, and I'm so glad that he is back. I've been seeing a lot of criticism of the movie outside. I've been reading up a lot about it, and we can talk about that for a minute, but I agree that this is a very nice, concise, biteable, eatable, digestible little movie. It's probably the most straightforward plot of any of his movies. There's nothing difficult to understand. I mean, it's absurd, yes. And, you know, all of Lanthimos' movies create an absurd set of rules and then stick by those rules. So this movie is no different from that. But I think there is a mischievousness here. There is at every point, there is a little wink and a nod.
Yeah.
Even when it gets into very, very kind of unpleasant territory. I mean, the whole movie is about a person who is kidnapped against her will. But the actors are so note perfect. And I also want to, we'll talk more about this, but I also want to really call out the music on this movie, which is so good. So it seems to me like Lanthimos probably made a 4-hour movie and somebody took it and just pared it down to the, it's just a 2-hour movie. I think it might be the shortest movie he's ever made. Mm-hmm. And it's just this, if somebody did that, kudos to them, because it's a nice, perfectly digestible little film. I think if you've never experienced Lanthimos, this might be a great place to begin. And one last thing. This is what I wrote. My one sentence thing I wrote on Letterboxd is, I'm so glad to be living in the time of Yorgos Lanthimos, because this movie is the best of him.
Yeah. So I think this is, you know, we often say this movie was a great acting vehicle for blah, 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 but the movie didn't quite deliver. That's not the case here. The story is great, the directing is great, and the acting is impeccable from all three leads, right? Jesse Plemons is excellent. Emma Stone is excellent. Aidan Delbis is phenomenal. This is his first role. He's playing someone who is a little mentally disabled, I would say. It's just the thing that impressed me about this movie is we often talk about Tarantino movies being about stakes and the stakes changing and who is in charge of that scene. This is like a masterclass in stakes and how things change within a scene and who you think has the upper hand and who doesn't and how it changes. And the motivations of the characters are so clear that it just makes for a wonderful cat and mouse the entire duration of the movie.
It's 2 hours of mental games.
It
right?
really is.
It's this woman who's been imprisoned, trying to get the better of the two men who have imprisoned her.
Right.
And it's just a series of games between the two of them.
Yes. Just to add, but then thrown in on top of all of that is this social commentary around haves, have not. The state of the world, the state of the US, it really does poke at some of the issues like we talked about in Nuremberg, right? What are the things that are going on in the country that make people get desperate and do stupid things?
Yeah. The actor Aidan Delbis, who you mentioned, he is on the autistic spectrum.
Right, okay.
So I think it could have been so much easier for him to hire somebody who could play somebody who is autistic or somewhat mentally challenged, but it's good for him that they actually pick somebody with that. you know, at this point, like when people say, oh, Meryl Streep is great, I'm like, oh, of course she's great. And, you know, maybe she's over, you know, over celebrated. It's the same thing with Emma Stone. She's in her 30s now and she has 2 Best Actress Oscar nominations. And I would be the first one to say, okay, enough with Emma Stone. Yeah. But again, here she is, she's playing very different than what she's played elsewhere. It's a very brave performance. But can I think of some other actor who could have done that? I can't. I really cannot.
It's such a brave performance.
Yeah,
it is. It's terrific. But I mean, you know, for me, the movie is kind of owned by Plemons, right? I mean, I think he plays a very Plemonsy character, you know. So anyone that's seen Plemons in Breaking Bad knows that, you know, he can be the antagonist and the
even Game Night.
Yeah, right. Or, so, yeah, you know,
any other movies,
so he's very well cast for his skills here, but he takes it up a level here because he has to convince us of his beliefs. And,
yes.
And I think I was never not convinced of his.
And he's got to not be a cliche because he is a cliche.
Correct. So there's just a nuance to the way he's played this character that I think kind of levels it up for me.
Yeah.
It's incredibly memorable as a performance. Like, and he looks different here. So, you know, I think, you know, yes, we've joked.
He's lost some weight.
Yeah. He's got on the Ozempic train, like off of Hollywood here. But I mean, he's physically so different here to, and it's not just the weight, but his physicality.
Hair is stringy and, the whole time, and he looks like he hasn't bathed in days.
It's like he's morphed into something completely different here. So, he owned the screen. He
definitely deserves a nomination.
And, you know, when you put two actors of that caliber together, one often outshines the other, right? But here they go toe to toe.
So good.
And I never not believed it for a second, despite the absurdity and despite the fact that the movie at times really goes to crazy town. Like, I'm like, wait, what?
There is a great chase. There's a great physical chase scene,
yeah.
Which is scary and hilarious
at the same time, yeah.
And gave me so much anxiety.
There is more than one.
There's more than one.
I can think of two which are amazing. Yeah,
but there was a couple of moments where I'm like, "How is this a mainstream movie?"
Yeah.
Right? Like, I haven't had these particular buttons pushed, and it's the comedic. I guess it feels like when we first saw Pulp Fiction, right? When you're like,
yes.
I haven't had this before. I'm like, oh, okay, what? So it really yeah. worked.
The criticism I've heard from those who didn't care for the movie is that it feels very shallow, or that it doesn't have the intricacy of plot or the depth that some of his earlier movies did, like The Favourite or Poor Things. And I actually am not sure that I would agree with it. I will say it is a very simple-minded plot. The other thing I've heard a lot of criticism about is that the movie kind of chickens out with the Jesse Plemons' character in terms of his political beliefs, because the way it's shown, you would think that it would be kind of a person who believes in conspiracy theories. And then there's a whole part in the movie where he says, I could be left, I could be right, I don't know what I am, whatever. Yeah. So I think a lot of people are annoyed by that, but I think all of those things they're true, but they're kind of irrelevant to the joy right. that the movie provides. I just like the movie for how I live to be in a cinema seated and not know what's happening and then giggle like, that happened, yeah. I can't believe it. Go on.
But here's why it works, Yazdi, because the central motivation of the character is actually his mother. Not what's going on around him, in a sense, right? He's driven by this desire to, in a sense, avenge his mother.
Yeah.
And that's why it works, because that's how life is, right? Nothing is black and white. We all are shades of gray. Yeah.
And the other thing, I'm going to tread really carefully here, but I can also see some people having a problem with how the movie ends.
Oh, yeah, so, lots of people, yeah. But,
Exactly. Yeah. And look, I mean, I could see why someone might have a problem with it. I certainly didn't, because it kind of earned.
I love the costume.
Yeah,
it kind of earned that kind of moment. So, yeah.
I mean, there are two things I outright hate about the movie. One is the poster. Like, if I see that poster, I'm like, I can't even read it. What is this? If I went to the theater not knowing what I was going to watch and saw that poster, my eyes would gleam right past it. So do better, you know, whoever. Who is this? Who is really Neon? Who is releasing this? Anyway, and then the other thing is the name. And actually, there's nothing wrong with the name, but the font.
Focus which is, features.
Focus features, do better. The font, like, it's like they want you to not go see this movie. It's so hard to read Begonia with the font. But anyway, after I watched this movie, I was like, what the hell is Begonia? And I'm not giving anything away. So I went and looked it up. And Begonia is a Greek term, which just fundamentally just means relating to the generation of bees. Now, there's a subplot in the movie about the Jesse Plemons' character. He keeps some bees, right, in his home. But more principally, Begonia means the belief that bees can spontaneously generate from decaying matter. So it's almost like a lotus analogy where something good can come out of filth, right? So when you think about it in context with everything that happens in the movie, you can kind of see like, okay, this is where he's going. So I love that this movie kind of, even after you've seen it, is kind of giving you a little bit more in terms of its title.
I thought Begonia was a flower.
I thought so too.
Okay. Yeah. Let's wrap this one up. So Joe.
I mean, this is terrific. Look, Yorgos Lanthimos is now a brand, and I think he's like, you know, he's an auto director in the category of, you know, Tarantino, Chris Nolan, Woody Allen. You know what you're going to get if you walk into a Lanthimos picture, and this movie certainly doesn't disappoint. It's a lot less abstract than I think some of his other works, and for me, that's why it works so well. You know, same with Poor Things; they were just more accessible. So, I thought that was this fantastic. If you love film, if you love movies, go see Begonia. 9 out of 10.
Yesti.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 for me as well. Mostly because it was such a delight for me. I just love it when a movie's ahead of me. Again, the plot is so simple. You think you know how the whole movie's going to play out. You don't. I like that it's playing with you. Sometimes it's playing with you unfairly, but I'm like, okay, fine, play me. I'm happy to be played, right? So I kind of really like that. I also like the fact that it's the kind of movie that everybody says there's nothing worth heading out to the cinemas for, right? It's like every movie is the same. And why should I pay $20? I think this one is worth going out for. It's just 2 hours long. It's fun. Don't even listen to our podcast. I hope you have not come this far. I hope you just go and watch it. I will say there are 5 minutes in this movie, which are probably quite likely the five most fun movies, fun minutes of any movie I've seen in 2025. I was just giggling the whole time. the audacity of it.
Yeah.
And it's at the 9 out of 10 from me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Love, love, love this movie. It's terrific. Write those nominations, all three leads.
Yeah,
no, it's great. And look, I mean, we've tried really hard to dance around a movie that's highly spoilable. So look, if you would like to hear a spoiler cast of this, maybe in a future podcast, like, you know, let us
maybe
know.
Maybe in awards, maybe when it comes
maybe
to awards
once
season,
it comes
we'll,
to streaming
we'll,
or
we'll,
something.
Let us know. Drop a comment in the YouTube field, and I'd love to kind of, you know, respond to that. And we maybe if we get enough requests for that, we'll definitely do that. Okay. Okay, then let's move on to our third movie of the week, which is It Was Just an Accident. And as I scramble here to find my intro, so this is the latest film from acclaimed Iranian filmmaker Jafar Panahi. Thank you, Yazdi, for helping me not trip over his name. A tense, haunting drama about a man who believes he's run into his former torturer years after being released from prison. What follows is a gripping moral puzzle that explores guilt, revenge, and the cost of justice in modern-day Iran. The film was shot secretly under Panahi's outgoing filmmaking ban and has already made waves on the international festival circuit. What did you guys think of It Was Just an Accident?
This is no accident. This is Jafar Panahi does Yorgos Lanthimos. It's almost strange that we're reviewing these back to back. This is an incredible movie. Rush out and see this one. It's playing at the cinemas. Yazdi and I were able to catch an afternoon show, which was fantastic. I'm so glad we went. I'm so glad we saw this on the big screen. phenomenal.
Yeah, so Jafar Panahi got famous because one of his early movies was pretty political, and it was very contemptuous of the Iranian regime at that time, and he was put under house arrest. And if you are, you know, if you're looking to go down a rabbit hole, just read about how he's been making those movies. Like, he made a movie and put it on a little thumb drive, which was put in a birthday cake and sent out and, you know, was exported out. I mean, he's made movies out of his phone. He's made movies while he was locked in a room. So he is a shining example of how somebody persists in their art, and not just crappy art. This is very good art, even while being completely under the thumb of oppression. This is the first movie he made when supposedly his house arrest was lifted. And I think probably this is his most overtly political film in a while as well. But you know, with all the resources he has, with all the actors he has, it's like an onion, right? Its little layers are being revealed, and people, and there's some characters who are acting so bizarrely. I'm like, why would you do that? And then when you realize, oh, this is why this person reacted to it. And I think I'm not giving too much away if I can bring one more person in a theater seat to watch It Was Just an Accident, then my job will be done. But the basic premise of the movie is, what if you have been politically imprisoned and tortured, right, by the regime, and you are free, and then you happen to run into a person who may or may not have been your tormentor? How do you react to it?
Yeah.
What is your moral responsibility?
Well, do you have control over your reaction also, right? You might think you may react a certain way,
correct,
but, you know, your morals guide you one way, but actually what happens, your reflexes are another.
Mm.
And it just takes this premise and builds this very layered, you know,
pressure cooker
of a movie where... It asks this question. On the other hand, what if the person you think is a tormentor is not the tormentor? Are you being unfair to them? So it has so many wonderful questions.
And what lengths do you have to go to prove that is your tormentor? And what lengths will you go to?
Yeah. And I don't want to in the least bit imply that this is like a dry documentary about imprisonment and so forth. It is funny.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious. It's fast-paced. Look, this movie won the top prize at Cannes Film Festival this year. Okay, the number one prize. Very deservedly so. It's, you know, Neon is releasing it. I think this is the kind of movie which can get lost in the shuffle. I hope as December comes along, people are still talking about it. It's something else. Yeah. It's pretty remarkable.
Will it cover a nation kind of best foreign film type thing?
Oh, 100%.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be Iran's submission
too. It's almost like, I feel like when I saw Parasite, I have that same feeling. You know, when you saw Parasite, it was something really special. And that's exactly how I felt about this movie. There's something really special here in the way that it's all of these things, right? Again, it's this... What lengths do you go to? How do you prove something? How do you disprove something? What's the consequence of getting other people involved in your own
affairs?
Vengeance.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's not remotely like pulpy, right? It's very much off the moment. It seems very real. And,
yeah. I mean, it's a little batshit at times, but...
Yeah. And it is interesting that we are discussing this back to back with Begonia, because this one is also about somebody who is kidnapped.
Yeah.
And you know, how everybody reacts to it. And you know, where does your allegiance lie with? Does it lie with the person who's done the kidnapping? Does it lie with the person who is kidnapped? Who knows who is worse? You know, all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
So it's quite
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, no spoilers. I mean, I can sum this one. This is not an accident. Please rush out and see this one. This is a 9 out of 10 for me.
This is an 8.5 out of 10 for me. It's even shorter than Begonia. It's 1 hour and 45 minutes. I was shocked when I read the runtime. After seeing it, I thought this was a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
Because so much happens.
An 8.5, which you will back.
Which I will... you know what? More people should go and watch this, right? So I'll do a 9 out of 10. I'll back up.
Fantastic.
I mean, regardless of where you stand, I think politically, you will kind of empathize with this.
Yeah.
I think the only kind of person who will not like this movie is, you know, somebody who hates subtitles and doesn't want to put up with that. But it's so worth it.
A movie that's totally worth the subtitles.
Yeah. And good for Iran, because last year they had Sacred Fig.
Yeah.
Sacred Fig come out.
Yes.
And then this
Which
year
won an award, didn't it?
I thought it won Best Foreign Film Language. And then we have It Was Just an Accident. Yeah.
What a good show.
Yeah.
What amazing movies.
And you know, anyway, I can talk about this for a while, but the other thing I want to mention about this movie is, you know, this obviously this has all been shot in secret. These actors are amazing. I don't think much of it is improvised, although it looks like it's improvised. I don't think it is. But the movie has these long, long, long takes. There is a take towards the end of the movie. I don't know if you noticed this, Rashmi. I'll talk to you afterwards because it's a spoiler, but it's one long, I think, 7 or 9 minute take.
Wow.
Of this person who has been tied up and who's kind of responding as things are happening
yes.
around him.
Yes.
And I mean, talk about, and you know, putting a load on an actor, right? To be like, it's like live theater for a long period of time.
Yes.
So it's a work of
I know,
much
I was kind of thinking, if anyone walked past that, what would they think? But they might just think that's how the regime is treating yeah. people, maybe. But okay, yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap up the podcast. We've been going for almost an hour here. So thank you again for listening or watching. Please comment on our YouTube feed. It helps kind of with the algorithm, but it's a great place for us to interact with you to find out what you thought of our reviews of these movies. Let's get some debate going. So until our next podcast, which is coming up soon, where we review, we're going to talk about Predator Badlands, Is This Thing On?, and also Die, My Love. Too many movies, too little time. A goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.